Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey guys, Laura here. Welcome to the final installment of our four-part series on educating our children and the gospel. If you missed it the past few weeks, we encourage you to go back and listen to all our episodes on education and the gospel. We've done a high-level overview of what Scripture speaks to about how we educate our children, and then we've zoomed in through three different interviews to learn more about how God leads individual families in different ways of educating their children. The first was Melissa Kruger with private schooling, second was Irene Sun with homeschool, and today we're hearing from our final mom, Jen Wilkin. She'll be speaking to how she sent her children through public education and the freedom she found in the gospel. Jen serves on staff at the Village Church and is an author and Bible teacher. You probably heard us talk a lot about her book, Women of the Word, How to Study the Bible with Both Our Hearts and Our Minds. It's a favorite here at Risen Motherhood for learning how to study the Bible properly. She has also written None Like Him, which talks about 10 ways God is different from us and why that's a good thing, and has a new book coming out, In His Image, which explores the other side of that coin, 10 attributes of God that Christians are called to reflect. This book is already available for pre-order as it comes out in May of this year. Of course, you can find Jen's work all over the web, so we've included links for where you can follow her on risenmotherhood.com. In addition, I just want to make sure all of you know about our landing page at risenmotherhood.com/education. This is a special spot designated on our site for all our education resources that we've collected during our schooling series here at RM. We know it's a big, important topic, so we wanted to make it super easy to find everything. There, you'll find links to all the interviews and show notes, discussion questions for the shows, and any extra articles or resources, and of course, the questionnaire document that we've developed. If you've not checked this out yet, let me encourage you to do so. The entire document is just made up of intentional questions that you and your husband can work through as you process through this decision. We pray that it will be a blessing to you. Okay, now let's get to the interview with Jen, Emily, and me. Well, hi, Jen. Thank you so much for joining us on the Risen Motherhood Podcast today.
Oh, I'm so glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we know you've been on the show before, and a lot of our listeners are really familiar with your work and your writing, and we just love you at Risen Motherhood, obviously. But can you give a quick background just for anyone who might not have heard of you yet and talk a little bit about your family and what your day looks like, and then, of course, how you educate your children?
Okay, I'm Jen. I've been married to Jeff for almost 25 years. It'll be 25 years this summer. And it's so funny. He's actually sitting over there while we're recording and he just gave a big cheer. So that's a good sign probably that he's excited about that number. We have four children. They are Matt, he's 21. Mary Kate is 20. Claire is 19. And Calvin is 17. All the birthdays are getting ready to flip. So only one left at home right now. Calvin is a senior in high school, and he will leave in August to join his siblings at Texas A&M University. He cannot wait.
Wow. All of them together. Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, he does find our company delightful, but I think he is about ready. He's about ready to go. Fully cooked for sure. I am on staff at the Village Church. In the Village Church Institute, I have responsibility for all of our adult classes at our five campuses. And my thing that I love the most is to talk about Bible literacy in the church and especially among women. And we chose to send our children through public school from start to finish.
So can you walk us through your decision for public education? You said that you've done that from start to finish. So taking yourself back to when you are a mom of young littles, especially, and kind of at the precipice of that decision, can you walk us through a little bit how that worked for you and your husband?
Yeah, well, I always like to state up front that I fully acknowledge that this is a very personal decision and there are a million factors that impact it. And what worked for us is not necessarily going to work for everyone, but I do like to give our perspective because sometimes people in Christian communities will write off this option as not being one that they can consider at all. And so while I don't think that our situation is necessarily normative, I do like to talk about it just to let people know that you can love the Lord and send your children to public school, assuming that all of the other pieces of the puzzle line up. But when our kids were small, you know, we had, you could probably tell from the ages that I said, our children were all born within 4 years. So there's exactly 4 years between my oldest, Matt, and my youngest, Calvin. And so I think because of that, we had to assess things a little differently than someone who maybe had their children a little more spread out or who maybe had fewer children or even more children. You know, that's something that affects the way that you make this decision. And so in our case, financially, private school was not going to be an option for us, especially with having so many in at the same time. I mean, right now I've got three in college. And another one heading out the door to join them soon. And so if we had done private school for all of their earlier years, there was just no way we were going to be able to think about having money available for them. It was time for them to go off to college just because it's just so many of them right in a row. So we did not seriously consider private school because of financial restrictions. So I don't want to say that we weighed weighed private school heavily against public school and then chose according to our conscience. It wasn't that. It just was not an option for us financially. And so then you're faced with, well, homeschool or public school. And at the time that our kids were little, we were in a community. There were a ton of homeschoolers, and they were actually doing it really well. They were doing co-ops. They had proms. We were in the Houston area, and I think that area was maybe a little bit ahead of some of the areas that we had lived in at other times where, you know, you kind of thought of homeschooling as sort of like, why would anybody do that? So we never felt that way about homeschooling, but we also come from a family of public educators. And so we had some convictions around public school as an ideal. And also we were living in an area where the public schools, from an academic standpoint, were excellent, which meant the decision for us was not going to be based on whether or not they would get a good education in the one environment versus the other. And so when we think about our children schooling option, for us at least, we did not feel an impulse to shield our children from influences that they might encounter in the public school. And again, the education piece was not a factor. So we weren't living somewhere where it's an inner city school or where the funding is bad. I have family members who have public schools near them that I don't know how you would ever have the courage to send your child there, although many people do, and I think it can be admirable. But a lot of the factors that sometimes keep people from right out of the gate saying yes to public school, those have not ever been an issue for us.
Yeah, and I love how you bring up there's just so many factors, and that's even among our own friend groups as we've been having these conversations. That's an observation we've made, is that when you look at the financial piece of the puzzle and, well, literally what school is in your neighborhood and what is that specific school like, you know, all of those different questions come into play. And so it's really hard to just make a blanket statement of any kind that says, oh, this is the better decision. So kind of bridging into that question, can you just talk us through why we have freedom in Christ in this decision? And just kind of, is there a better choice? I think we've kind of flown the plane around it and answered it. But if you want to expound upon that anymore, I think that'd be helpful.
You know, again, our kids did not have, no one has a learning disability. No one had, we had no special considerations with our children. And so that removed a lot of questions off the table for us. And then it became a question for us of, well, you know, we believe that if at all possible, we should opt into the public school system because we believe that I would say that as a Christian, whatever choice you pursue with your own children, it's important to feel a conviction that education is a right that we are all entitled to. And so that even if your children are not participating in the public school system, you as an adult can find ways to participate in and improve the public school system for those families who do not have another option. And so for us, we were able to hold to public education as an ideal, not just by investing in it as members of our community, but by actually placing our children there with very little risk associated with that decision. And so we wanted to. So I don't think that there, you know, I think one of the things, and this has probably come up in the other interviews as well, one of the misconceptions about education choices is that it's a decision you make when your child enters into kindergarten and then you just stay the course forever. And though it may appear that we did that, if there had ever been a compelling reason to reevaluate that decision, we certainly would have. We didn't happen to run into one. And some of that is because just of the makeup of our family. A lot of the things that people fear with regard to public school or things like bullying or a child being isolated, not making friends or making the wrong friends. And at least in the case of our family, our children were their own peer group in many regards because they were so close in age and they shared a lot of friends, a lot of overlap in their friend groups and a lot of policing of who people were being friends with just among kids. And then just like-mindedness with their siblings, right? The people that they're spending, the peers they're spending the most time with were underneath their own roof. And so some of the factors that can make public school, but honestly, any classroom environment difficult were alleviated for us a little just because they had each other.
Well, and Jen, you talked a little bit about you would reevaluate if you needed to. Can you speak to that mom who does feel guilt or anxiety maybe of sending her child to any schooling system? Because there's pros and cons to every choice or strengths and weaknesses. And so, you know, can you just give some gospel hope to that mom? Because I know Emily and I were at the beginning of this stage, but we already feel some anxiety about it. And I'm not sure, like, that is going to go away at certain moments. I mean, I'm sure there's always moments as a mom that you're feeling like, did I make the right choice? Was that the right thing for my family or for this individual child?
Yeah, I really don't. I think we have a tendency in general as Christians to place a lot of emphasis on the decision point and cease to recognize that God is way less invested in your decision than he is in what happens after the decision. He's interested in who your child is, not where your child is educated. Now, those two things may relate to one another, but we tend to think if I make the wrong decision, then all is lost. And that is not a true narrative. And not only that, but in trying to decide what is the quote right decision, it's important for us to keep examining whether we are reaching our conclusion based on what our peers are saying, our other parents, because, you know, parental peer pressure is a thing. Yeah. We want the approval of our friends and we want to be perceived as being a good parent, not a bad parent. And so depending on what little subculture you're living in your area, you can be heavily influenced just by what everybody else is doing because you don't want to deal with the scrutiny of going against the grain. And in fact, in our case, I would say that by putting our kids in public school, that was the move that was going against the grain in some cases, because when you're in the church and you have four kids in 4 years and you're on record as being a committed believer, people automatically assume that you're going to do homeschool or private school. Mm-hmm. And I would get emails from women saying, can you tell me what curriculum you're using in your homeschool? Oh, gosh, I don't know how to break this to them.
Yeah.
That they'll be disappointed to learn that we've sent our kids.
Yeah.
Cool.
One thing I really appreciate that you've talked about a lot on other platforms is kind of influences in our children's lives and the influence of parents and the faith of mom and dad and living out the gospel in the home. And so I think that's, you know, one of my questions about public school and private school, but public school maybe even more so is parents saying, what does that look like then to be intentional in the home? How did you guys then teach your children scripture, teach your children just bringing them up in the Lord when they did spend more time outside of the home? We definitely know that's possible, but I think it's good and helpful for us to hear what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the teaching points just write themselves when your kids have spent all day at public school. You know? You need to talk about when you're together as a family, talking about spiritual things. And that's one of the things really that I have loved about the kids being in public school is there's no shilly-shallying around about who is a believer and who isn't. Children in the public schools, educators in the public schools, they are not trying to present themselves as one thing when in fact they're another. They're up front with where they're coming from. And so the whole sort of nominal Christian syndrome that can exist is just not in the public schools. If you do say that you are a Christian, it's not going to garner you favor and friends. It's probably going to make you seem a little bit weird. And that means that when you get home, home is a place where you exhale and you know that this is where we have shared values and shared beliefs and we have those conversations. And so I think that too often Christians who put their kids in public schools are seen as just sort of throwing their kids to the wolves and not being sensitive to the influences that they will come up against, not just from their peers, but also from their teachers. And I just always like to remind parents that they don't know anyone who got their worldview from their third grade mm-hmm. teacher. That children spend way more time around us on the whole than they do around these other people. And we have way more capacity for modeling either good or bad for our children than any other adult in their lives. And certainly than any ratty old kid sitting next to them at the lunch table, telling them all the things that you really don't want them to know. So,
yeah. That's a comfort. It really is, because I do think that's a genuine fear of any time we're sending our children out, whether that's, you know, a mom sending her child to a child care provider or at a public school or just any influences out there. I think that we can often get way too caught up in the tiny minutia, a few moments that they were with that person, and not kind of pull back and look at the child's life as a whole and how they're being influenced. So that should be hopefully a great relief to moms in all stages of life for sure. And then coming back to just people who are at the beginning stages, because that's the majority of our listeners who are just starting to navigate some of these decisions. Can you just offer some tips for how a mom and dad might thoughtfully or prayerfully work through the education options? So not just for public school, but just for all of the options in front of them, because there are a lot.
Yeah, I think there is a, you need to start by asking, you know, what's best for your child and your family, but that can't be the only question that you ask, because if we only ever did what was best for our child and our family, we wouldn't be very good citizens in our communities. And mm-hmm. so it may be that your education decision is closely tied to the specific needs of a child or a specific aspect of your family's needs. But there ought to be some way to make that decision that also takes into account the community in which you live. Because I do think it can be a danger of choosing non-public school options that we then don't recognize some of the very real education needs that exist all around us for people who are not able to choose homeschool or public school. Because for homeschool and public school, there are socioeconomic implications for even being able to have those as an option for you to choose. And I think we should be honest about that. We should acknowledge that. We cannot say homeschooling is really the best way to educate our kids, and really everyone should be doing that, because the single mom who's working a minimum wage job does not have that as an option, and then is supposed to carry mm-hmm. around a stigma because she's not a good enough mom. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, right? Like, right. Only option is going to be public school. So mm-hmm. whereas for my own family, I may decide educationally I want to invest in them and do homeschooling, I'm still going to look for ways to serve my community's educational needs in addition to that. Just because I've settled what my own children need doesn't mean that I get to turn my eyes away from what the other children in my community also might need. Yeah. But homeschooling could be a valid choice. So I think as you're thinking through the decision, it's important to, first of all, not make a fear-based decision. Too often when we start thinking through these things, we're trying to minimize fears instead of ask basic questions around, well, why is this one particular approach better than this other approach? For the Wilkin family, we were not concerned about the spiritual component of sending our kids to public school. We felt like it actually challenged us appropriately as parents to take full responsibility for the spiritual nurture of our children, which is not to say that it is wrong for your children to receive spiritual nurture in a private school setting or in a home setting, but simply that it was the right set of checks and balances for us to know that they were not going to be getting it at school. They might be getting the opposite of it at school, and that that was an opportunity, not a threat.
I love that you just shared that. I'm not sure I've heard anybody put it into words quite like that, that that can be actually the very thing that spurs parents on to have really intentional conversations and to be making sure when they are at home that that investment is happening, because you know that it's not happening from the teachers or necessarily from the general peers. And another thing I think we heard on another podcast, you talked about schooling, just the diversity component as well. And we have, my husband and I have a son that's getting ready to enter the public school system because he needs, he's got some special needs and has some, you know, he's going to need help and accommodation. And the public school is probably the only place that's really equipped to do that. Right. And one of the things his doctor said to us recently as we were discussing the options, he said, you know, I think this is going to be more than just a blessing to you guys. This is going to bless other people to be around him and to see differences. And that was a good reminder to me of just the differences that are in the public school setting often and how that can really benefit kids.
Yeah, absolutely. They encounter every form of diversity. And they, you know, so there's the having the children with special needs who are in regular contact with the children who are in the average classroom. That was a huge thing for our kids and for a lot of their friends as well. And then opportunities that are there for kids to go and help out in the classrooms with the children with special needs. Just a lot of cross-pollination, so that whereas when I was growing up, children with special needs were kind of off in another room and we didn't see them, and you know, you didn't know what to do. It was awkward and strange. It just isn't like that anymore. I love that. I love that you encounter socioeconomic diversity and you encounter a lot of really sad stories. Like, that sounds like a terrible thing to be thankful for, I guess, but my kids would come home in tears over something that they had learned about a friend's marriage, the parents, you know, the marriage falling apart, or something that had happened to someone, and just things that don't always get talked about, at a youth group, you know, and yet they had to confront some really hard things early on in life and ask some questions about where is God in the middle of all of this? And how can we, speak words of comfort to someone who's going through this? And so those were all just things that I really treasure about them having been in the public school, people from different religions. You know, we have a huge Mormon population at the high school where my kids went and in our community. And so we've had a lot of really good conversations about Mormonism and the differences between Mormonism and Christianity. Because if you raise kids according to a Christian worldview and they're, you know, kind of staying out of some of the typical things that other people are doing, their good friends are probably going to end up being the Mormons, because the Mormons are probably avoiding a lot of the same behaviors. And so, you know, that was an opportunity for conversation. Just really good. So that then when they go off to college or whatever's next after high school, they're not encountering those questions for the first time.
Yeah, it's definitely, it sounds like just a wonderful training ground, whereas if you were to select a different education option, you know, you might just have to work harder to find those things and to expose your children to those things. And that's certainly just a really beautiful thing for the kids to be exposed to diversity early on and exposed to just even the brokenness of the world, like you were saying. Those are great moments to be able to train your child in biblical thinking and understanding just like where hope applies and where the gospel applies to their every day, because they need that. Like, it's a very real and bright thing in their life, in their daily life at school. So Jen, is there any last thing that you would love to say to a mom? I feel like we have to start ending the interview because time always hits, but I'm always like, Jen, just talk a little bit more. So is there one last encouragement that you would offer to a mom kind of in our stage at the beginning of this, who's just feeling like this is a big decision, but could you just share some gospel hope for her?
Absolutely. You know, we're not given to a spirit of fear. And mm-hmm. so this is a decision that you're capable of making as the parent. And if you make one decision and it's not working out, then as the parent, you can make a different decision. Children are very resilient. My stepmom would always say that to me. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Maybe not my children. Maybe all the other.
I know. We always say our kids are made of rubber.
Yeah,
and they just bounce right back.
Yeah, oh, she's dear. Right. And I think if we view our education choice is as which path will help my child avoid the most potential adversity, that's the wrong way to think about it. And if we look at it as, you know, I always like to be clear, we did not send our children to public school so they could be missionaries. We sent them there so that they could learn to read and to do math. And over time, of course, as they grew into maturity, there were opportunities where they wanted to share their faith. But that the point of your education choice, I would urge, should be primarily related to learning. Because the children are going to face issues of faith differently depending on what environment they're in. And no education environment has, they have different sets of pressures, but they all have pressures associated mm-hmm. with them. So you could end up with your child in an environment where their faith is never challenged, or you could have them in an environment where people pretend to be really good Christians and then are doing whatever covertly. Or you could, you know, there's always a set of difficulties associated with any educational environment kids are going to go into. So I would say start by weighing the merits of how good of an education is my child going to get. And then give yourself permission to course correct if you need to, and pray a whole lot.
Yeah, we really, really appreciate you coming on and sharing this. I think it's just so encouraging. You're actually the third in the series that we've gone through. And I hope that the moms that have tuned in through this process are feeling a little bit more like, this is about, you know, giving glory to God and who we are, as you said, and not the minutiae of what we decide. He's so much bigger and so much more sovereign than that. And we don't know the end, but he does. And so we can just keep obeying him one step at a time. I'm just so hopeful at the end of this. And I hope everyone who is listening feels that way as well. So thank you so much for the wisdom that you added to this conversation, Jen.
Thanks for letting me chime in.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Risen Motherhood podcast. We encourage you to check out our webpage, risenmotherhood.com/education. And on that page, we've made it easy to find all our resources on this topic with links to interviews and the education questionnaire, plus tons of additional articles and tools that we've found helpful for our families as we navigate this topic. And of course, we'd love it if you came and found us on social media where you can keep up with the ministry of Risen Motherhood. You'll find us at Risen Motherhood on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for joining us.